Leviticus chapter 8, beginning on page 86. And if you would keep your place there and turn also to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. On page 1041. Revelation chapter 21, reading verses 1 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Leviticus chapter 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering, and he killed it. And Moses took the blood and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it and purified the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned up with fire outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And he killed it, and Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took 1 unleavened loaf and 1 loaf of bread with oil and 1 wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, 'Aaron and his sons shall eat it.' And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire, and you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As he has done, as has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have been commanded." And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. This is the word of the Lord. You were created to dwell with God. This is the hope in which you were created. This is the hope in which you have been saved. To enter into His presence. To enter into the place of His rest. To dwell with Him in His house. To eat from His table. to behold his face, to serve him, to worship him, to glorify him, to enjoy him forever. What suffering in this world is worth comparing with such glory? What joy in this world surpasses it? Yours is an eternal weight of glory beyond compare. Would you not count all things as loss to gain it? A world that is passing away for a kingdom without end. Would you rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, or sit on the throne of ruins? This world is not your inheritance. Your inheritance is the world to come. The world Christ has inherited for you. With him you are an heir of that world. With him you are an heir of God. Your inheritance, your reward is God himself. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. This is your hope. This is the hope in which you were created. This is the hope in which you have been saved. This is the hope in which you now stand. In this hope you must live. In this hope you must die. When you wake in the morning, remember this hope. When you lie down at night, remember this hope. When you are overwhelmed with the worries of the day, remember this hope. When you feel disrespected or unloved, remember this hope. When you suffer the pain of loss, or the sorrow of grief, remember this hope. Remind yourselves of this hope. Raise your children in this hope. Encourage one another in this hope. It is of first importance. It is of most importance. Without it, nothing else matters. Without this hope, whatever you have whatever you gain, whatever you achieve, it doesn't matter. You were created in this hope. You have been saved in this hope to dwell with God in glory. It is a hope revealed to you in Leviticus. It is a hope revealed to you in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God in the midst of His people. The tabernacle was the house of God. The tabernacle revealed your hope, the hope of entering into the most holy place. The place of God's presence enthroned in glory upon the cherubim. This hope was revealed to all God's people. This hope is for all God's people. But in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, only the high priest ever enjoyed it. Only the high priest ever entered into the most holy place. And that but once a year. The high priest and his sons, Aaron and his offspring, they represented this hope for all the people. For Aaron and his sons, consecrated as priests to the Lord, they enjoyed a privilege that the other people did not enjoy. They enjoyed an honor that the other people did not enjoy. Aaron and his sons, consecrated as priests to the Lord, they had the privilege, they enjoyed the honor of serving God in His house, of dwelling in God's house, of eating from His table. Leviticus chapter 8 reveals your hope. To serve the Lord in His house, to dwell with God in His house. And Leviticus chapter 8 reveals what is necessary for the fulfillment of this hope. Leviticus chapter 8 reveals what was necessary for Aaron and his sons to enjoy this honor. As we have seen in each chapter of Leviticus so far, sacrifice was necessary. Sacrifice was necessary for the enjoyment of this privilege. The shedding of blood was necessary. But in Leviticus chapter 8, we have a new image that we have not yet seen in Leviticus. Not only do we have the shedding of blood, but we also have anointing with blood. In Leviticus chapter 8, we have the shedding of blood and also anointing with blood. Aaron and his sons, they are anointed with the blood of the sacrifice. Aaron and his sons are consecrated by the blood of the sacrifice. Aaron and his sons are sanctified by the blood of the sacrifice. They are anointed from head to toe. Symbolically, they are covered in the blood of the sacrifice. For Aaron and his sons to serve in the tabernacle, for Aaron and his sons to dwell in the house of God, they must be covered in the blood of sacrifice. Lest they die. And likewise, we see them not only anointed with blood, having been washed with water, Aaron and his sons, they are also anointed with oil. Aaron and his sons were anointed with oil, and not only Aaron and his sons, but also the tabernacle itself. The tabernacle and all that was in it was anointed with oil. Both the tabernacle and the priests, they are anointed with oil and blood. Why? Because they are bound together. They are bound together by that anointing oil. They are bound together by the blood of sacrifice. Indeed, we may say that Aaron and his sons were to be the image of the tabernacle. That is why they were clothed. They could not serve in the tabernacle. They could not dwell in the tabernacle unless they were clothed. And not just with any clothing, but with the garments prescribed by God in Exodus chapter 28. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 2, these garments are called holy garments. Holy garments for glory and beauty. These garments were made with gold, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. The priestly garments were made from the same materials as the tabernacle itself. And why? Because the priestly garments were to resemble the glory and beauty of the tabernacle. The priestly garments were to resemble the glory and the beauty of the one whose dwelling place it was. For Aaron and his sons to serve in the tabernacle, it was required that they bear the image of the tabernacle. To be holy as the Lord their God was holy. For Aaron and his sons to serve in the tabernacle, it was required that they bear the image of the tabernacle. And as such, it was required that they, as it were, become a part of the tabernacle, that they be united to the dwelling place of God. That they bear its image, that they show forth its holiness, its beauty, its glory. Aaron and his sons were covered so that they did not die in the presence of the Lord. Covered in anointing oil, covered in sacrificial blood. And Aaron and his sons were clothed in glory and beauty that they might show forth the holiness of God. That they might bear his image. That is what was necessary for Aaron and his sons to serve in the tabernacle. And that is what is necessary for you to dwell in the house of God. To be washed. To be anointed. To be clothed. Something which the people of God did not receive under the old covenant. But something which you have received under the new. That is why Christ came. These things are yours in Christ. It is no longer only for Aaron and his sons to dwell in the house of the Lord. It now belongs to all God's people to dwell in the house of the Lord. It now belongs to all God's people to serve Him in the house of the Lord. Christ offered Himself a sacrifice to God. And He has washed you in His blood. He has cleansed you by the water and the blood that poured from his side. You are covered with his blood. That same blood through which he entered into the most holy place of heaven. The hope of Leviticus chapter 8 is fulfilled in the death and resurrection and exaltation of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, through the greater and more perfect tent, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your consciences from dead works to serve the living God? You have been washed with the blood of Christ. You are covered with the blood of Christ. You are anointed with the blood of Christ. Why? For a purpose, that you might serve the Lord in his house. That you might worship the Lord in his presence. You are covered in the blood of Christ, and thus you are able to follow that blood as far as it has gone. Into the place of God's heavenly rest. There to serve the Lord, there to worship the Lord, there to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. And likewise, you have been anointed. You have been anointed not with oil, but with the Spirit. Christ has poured out his Spirit upon the people of God, not only on some, but on all. Christ has poured out his Spirit upon all the church. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But you do belong to Christ because his Spirit has been poured out upon you. His Spirit dwells within you. Just as the high priest was anointed with oil, and then also his sons after him, so also Christ, your high priest, has been anointed with the Spirit, so that he might anoint you with the same, baptizing you with the Spirit and fire. You are covered in his blood. You are anointed with his Spirit. And you are clothed in his image. You are clothed in his image, that you might show forth his holiness, that you might show forth his beauty, that you might show forth his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you beholding the glory of the Lord, you are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the next. You are clothed in the image of Christ. You are becoming the image of Christ, the glorious image of Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 5, You have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A tent for which you groan, longing to put on your heavenly dwelling, that you might not be found naked, that you might be further clothed, that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Christ has covered you with his blood. Christ has anointed you with his Spirit. Christ has clothed you with his glory. You have something that the saints of old did not enjoy. Only once a year, the high priest was able to enter into the most holy place of the tabernacle. But you, covered in the blood of Christ, anointed with his Spirit, clothed in his glory, you are able at all times to enter into the most holy place of heaven. A privilege for which the saints of old longed. A privilege which you enjoy. You are covered in the blood of Christ. You are anointed with his Spirit. You are clothed in his image. Why? To serve the Lord. Because you are the bride of Christ, the dwelling place of God. In Revelation chapter 21, the bride of Christ is revealed. She is revealed as the heavenly Jerusalem, bearing the image of God, showing forth his radiance and glory. That is the hope for which you were created. That is the hope in which you have been saved. It is a hope that you have now in Christ. How then shall you live? By serving the Lord. By coming into his house. By worshiping him. By eating from his table. In all things, showing forth his glory to the end and to eternity. Amen. Let us pray.